Okay, y'all, today is a very special episode. If you listen to today's episode, you will hear in the beginning of the podcast, I get very emotional. I did not expect to get very emotional, but I am so unbelievably grateful that I got to talk to a person who has been extremely, extremely pivotal in my life. His name is Ken Duke. He is a PGA Tour winner. He is a Champions Tour winner. He is one of the kindest, most genuine human beings on planet Earth. And today we talk about his 30-year career in the golf world, his success, his fun stories, how everything changed for him, his mindset. I am just unbelievably grateful that Ken took the time to do this podcast today. It was very selfish because I do think that it was time that I told him what an amazing impact he has made in my life. There has been three people who have really made an impact in my life when it came to my golf career, which has gotten me here to today. So I hope that you enjoy today's episode. Be sure to follow Ken Duke over on the PGA Tour Champions Tour. He is so fun. He is so gracious. Take what he says today and really let it sink in, because this man is not only loving what he gets to do, he's been incredibly successful and he is just an unbelievably great human being. So enjoy today's episode. Are you ready to decide it's your turn to live your most purposeful, profitable, passionate life? I'm Christina LaCure, former professional golfer turned confidence and success coach. I truly believe every one of us was put here for a God-given purpose, and it is our responsibility to live that fully. For well over a decade now, I've been turning my life, as well as countless others around, from feeling unworthy, incompetent, and without a purpose to living a life I cannot wait to wake up for. Even on days when shit hits the fan. And it all started with a decision. Yeah, you heard that right. I said God and shit in the same sentence. So clearly this won't be your typical podcast, but what I can assure you is that each week myself and my guests are going to enlighten you, fire you up, and having you walk away with stories and strategies to not only boost your confidence, but give you hope that at any moment in time, you have the power to decide it's your turn. Okay, y'all. So today's episode, I'm getting like emotional just thinking about it, because Ken doesn't know this. Ken has been a friend of mine for a really long time, but he is one of the people that I've never told you this before. And I didn't even know I was going to get emotional, but there is like three people in my life that have been a big impact on me. And I've never told you this. And we've been friends for like 17 years. You are one of those people. And so when I asked you today to do this, I just like, you and I were just texting about some bullshit stuff. And I didn't even know I was going to get emotional. This is so silly. I was telling Nathan this morning. I was like, Christina, it's no big deal. It's Ken. You've known him forever. He's a friend of yours. And I was like, yeah, but he doesn't know how instrumental he has been in my life. So I am so honored to have Ken Duke on the show today.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I didn't know that was going to happen either. I mean, I thought you were just the cool, calm, collected kind of person, but I guess I get to you somehow.
You
but
do.
I really appreciate you having me on. It's great.
Well, Kenny and I were, you know, texting a few weeks back because he is going to be basically the headliner here in Little Rock, Arkansas for the Simmons Bank Championship. You and, you know, Glenn and John and everyone's coming for the senior tour event. But he and I were just messaging back and forth. And I said, hey, would you ever do my podcast? And you're like, oh my gosh, yes, absolutely. So we set this up today. And I was thinking about it because there was obviously so many things that I kind of wanted to ask you. And obviously this podcast is just a conversation and it's, you know, about so many different things. But I was just thinking about it. You know, you and I met, and I don't even know if you remember this because I remember it like it was yesterday. And 2000, I think it was either 2007 or 2008. And Jack O'Keefe, who is also someone who has been so important to me. There's been three people that have been super important in my life when it comes to like the golf part. You, Jack O'Keefe, and one of my best friends, Justin Pointer, who's already been on the show and he knows that. Do you know Justin by chance?
Know him real well. Yeah, he's great. He was down in Dallas. I don't know if he's still there or not, but
yeah,
he's been great. Yeah, yeah.
So Justin and I have been friends for forever. And Justin has been on the podcast when it first came out because he is the person who really introduced me to my faith, to be honest with you. Like, I don't even know if you know that, but just like when I was at my lowest point, I met Justin. And Justin just kind of showed me like a glimmer of positivity and light and all the things. And you, Justin, and Jack have been so important to me when it comes to the golf stuff. So I just wanted to start with that because it just means the world. And I think you need to know that. So thank
I
you.
appreciate it. Yeah,
Yeah.
thank you. Yeah.
Cool. So for those who don't know, Ken Duke is a super big deal, especially in my life, but also in the golf world. Ken has been, I didn't realize you turned pro 30 years ago. How is that possible?
It seemed like it was yesterday, to be honest with you. But sometimes it seems like it's been forever. But it's just been a whirlwind. It's, you know, it's obviously it's tough to get out here and never think that you would do something like this, especially growing up in a small town in Arkadelphia and on a 9-hole golf course. But, you know, it's just it's been amazing, been a wonderful ride. Obviously, along the way, you meet a lot of inspirational people. Get a break here and there, and you just got to grind it out. And it's been special. It's 15 years on the PGA Tour, and now 5 years out here on the PGA Tour Champions, and some mini tours before that. And get on the plane and get on the bus and just chase that ball in the field. It's been amazing.
So I kind of want to start from like a little bit of the beginning. So you grew up in Hope, Arkansas, which for those who don't know, is kind of like the middle of the state, southern middle of the state, home of Bill Clinton. And you grew up on a 9-hole golf course. So tell us a little bit about your upbringing and like, yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I was born in Hope, Arkansas, but when I was 10 years old, we moved up to Arkadelphia, just 30 miles up the road. That's kind of where everything started for me. You know, started in the fifth grade there. And went through high school, then went to University of Henderson State University, the college there. But when I was in the seventh grade, routine scoliosis check. So my back was curved a lot more than other kids. So obviously had to follow that and see what that was all about. And 3 years later, I had to have back surgery. So I have a steel rod in my back, a 16-inch steel rod from Children's Hospital. So I had to quit all the sports, but I kept playing golf. And you know, like I said, you don't know where you're going to go with this, but more than any, I just wanted my life. I was short breathing. I couldn't, you know, cardio within football and baseball and basketball. And it was just, it was tough. But golf, I could still play around. It's an individual sport. And I just wanted to play. And that's kind of a big hurdle for me, and gotten over that. And, you know, then finished high school, then went to Henderson State, had a great, you know, college career. Then I jumped into the real life of chasing that ball for a profession on the PGA Tour and everything. So, you know, like you said, 30 years later, here I am, and just enjoying every minute of it. It's been absolutely amazing.
So I think that part is like, we just kind of skip over and be like, okay, so I turned pro and 30 years later. But for those who don't know, Ken, you know, I think you're one of the greatest because of your longevity and your ability to keep going. And I'm sure over the years, there has been so many highs and so many lows. But the thing about the golf, and I think that a lot of people don't realize, is that you're losing 99.9999999% of the time. So Ken has won on the PGA Tour once back in 2013, and I will never forget it because the afternoon that you won in that playoff, I was in Alberta, Canada. I don't know if you remember me texting you, because I'm sure there's 10 million people that are texting you when it happened, but I was in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and I was in the ladies' restroom, believe it or not, and your face was right in the ladies' restroom. I know that that sounds so weird, but because one of the tour events back in the Canadian Tour, I don't think you won that event, but you were like in the, yeah, you've won twice on Canada, but it wasn't there, but your face was there. And I thought, oh my God, he's going to win this afternoon. Cause I saw your face and I was like, wow. I know it. It's a God thing for sure. But 2013, you won the first time, but you got on tour, you came on tour in 1994. And so I think that this is the part that is just like so inspiring and so amazing that I think a lot of people really need to hear, is that it took you that many years and that many starts. There was 187 starts on the PGA Tour before you ever won. So when you joined the tour in 94, were you naive? Did you know it was going to be this hard? Tell us about the beginning, because I think that part's the fun part.
I'm glad I gave you a good visual in the bathroom there, but whatever. But But no, it
It was in the women's restroom, and I thought, oh my God, he's gonna win today.
yeah, but no, it's a tough road. Like you just said, I played in Canada for 7 years. I played in Asia for 3 years, played South America for 3 years before I got out onto the Korn Ferry and got onto the PGA Tour. But when I went out there in 2004 on the PGA Tour, I was starstruck. There's so many names that you see out there and they're hitting balls beside them, and you're calling them yes sir and all that stuff, and they're the same age as you are. And what do you do? I did not play very well at all. Lost my card. I went back to the Korn Ferry and played there a couple years. Then I got, won the money title in 2006 on the Korn Ferry, and that's what just took me over the edge. I met an older gentleman, Hall of Famer Bob Toski. He changed my life, changed my game, as he's done to many other people. But getting out there on the after that, I felt like I belonged. I was more consistent. That's what this whole game's about, is consistency. I can't play your game, you can't play my game, but you have to play your own game. And that's the big thing about it. And a lot of guys want to try to play other people's games, and you can't do that. But just like you said, you saw me, and you said, well, he's going to win. Well, a lot of people don't know the first tournament that Bob Toski won in 1953 was the Insurance City Open in Hartford, Connecticut.
No way.
60 years later, his student wins the same event. How's that happen? We think things happen for a reason, and obviously that did. But no, what a wonderful experience just to be out there. Then obviously a dream to get a W out there. And you rub elbows with all the big names. You see them all the time, but they're just an average person, just like we all are. And they enjoy life just like we all are. And it's just been great. Just been a fun time.
So when you got in 94 and you played those mini tours and you bounced around and stuff, you and Michelle have been married for how long now?
23.
23 years. Were you married when you were on those mini tours and stuff like that? Were you guys together? Like, what did that look like? Because I'm sure from what we all know, and I know a little tiny piece of it, but what was that mini tour life like? Because that has got to be 90% of people quit, like 95.
Yeah, it was a grind. No, I was not married. I couldn't even hardly support myself, much less somebody else. Borrowing money from friends to go here, go there. A lot of these kids now, they're married when they come out and turn pro, and maybe their wife has a job, or maybe they have family money, or whatever it is. But each is his own. But no, I was not. I didn't get married till 2001. So it's just everyone has their own story, has their own issue and own support, and it was a grind. It was definitely. I remember when I went to Canadian Tour in 90. Nine, I borrowed $4,000 from a friend of mine out at Maumelle, and I won the money title that year. So I paid him back, and he didn't want any extra or anything. So I'm like, thank you so much, Steve. So, but no, it's sometimes you give that, you got to give thanks to everyone that helps you along the way, because you need breaks along the way, because you can't do this just by yourself.
Was there ever a point that you thought you were going to quit?
No, but my mom said, hey, I think you need to get another job, about that 2000, 2001 year. But just as in golf, you have some ups and downs, and you have to fight through some of that stuff. Now, if I didn't think I was getting better, now you have to shut it down. But no question, when I end up meeting Bob Toski, changed my life. The game was simple. Well, not simple, but it was easier. Like I said, I'm so much more consistent. Then you just grow confidence after that. Then you just don't even think that you're out there playing with a big name. You're just out there playing and having fun. And when you have fun, most of the time you play a little bit better than when you're a little stressed.
I'll tell you guys, I really want you all to like really pay attention to Ken when you see him on TV because you have so much damn fun. I love your little dances. People are obsessed with Ken. Like you don't even understand. One of the two things that I always think about Ken is I think perseverance, but I also think the fact that like there is not a human being on planet Earth that doesn't have so much respect and so many good things to say about you. You surround yourself with people who are just amazing. And I think that that really speaks to who you are because People love you. There is not one person that has ever said Ken isn't the greatest human ever. And I think that that is, it's a rarity nowadays. And I just think that you are one of those people that just have good humans around you, and you are such a good human. You are the kindest person ever. I mean, Kenny knows that I cuss like a sailor, and I don't think he's ever said, it's so funny. You always come around, you're so kind, and he keeps bringing me back. And I don't even know if I've ever heard you cuss, and you make fun of my cussing all the time.
It's funny. I appreciate all those kind words, and I mean, I just always took my dad's advice. Hey, you can never meet a stranger, and don't piss somebody off on the way up, you know, because they're gonna still be there on the way back down. I mean, sure, I've said my few words as well, but try to keep them in check. But I appreciate that. You know, it's all for me. It's just about enjoying the game and enjoying where you are. Life's too short not to do that, and that's what I do, is enjoy my job and enjoy the people around it.
And I think that's why you've been able to stick with it so long. I mean, I don't think there's anyone who can like literally stick with something for 30 years where you're losing 99.99% of the time and it's a grind, unless you don't actually enjoy it. Have you always had that mentality, or did something switch for you, or what was that?
Yeah, I think more than any is after I finally got out on the PGA Tour in 06, well, 07, after I won the Korn Ferry, I just believed that I could do this. And once you believe something, you can do it, you can do it. And you gotta, like you said, you gotta take the good with the bad and the bad with the good. And it's, as we know, it's okay to finish 10th. It's okay to finish 30th. It's okay, because maybe the next time you're going to finish second. You just have to put it all together. And that's just the way this game is. We're not Tiger Woods. We're not obviously Scottie Scheffler right now. You know, I'm just not that guy. I'm just one of those other guys that enjoy the game and enjoy, you know, where I'm at, and just enjoy the people. And that's the way I take it. And, you know, I try to just enjoy every single day.
How did you meet Mr. Toski? Because from, you know, just like you mentioned, and a lot of people have kind of told me the story about how like he really was like that absolute pivot in your whole entire career. How did that come about?
Yeah, I'm just down here. I mean, I got married in 2001, then just trying to find every little pro-am to make $200 or $500 or whatever. And my father-in-law was a pro back in the day. He's still a pro, but he played a lot of mini tours. And there's just a bunch of little charity things down here in South Florida. And he invited me to come to this one. And obviously Bob Toski was there. Well, walk in and he's giving a lesson in the breakfast line. You know, got a golf club in his hand, doing all that stuff. And that's just him. Never met him before. And somebody said, Ken, you should go down and see Bob. He's just 20 minutes away down in his driving range. And I'm like, sure, I'll do it. He said, what are you doing tomorrow? So I went down there. I was a hooker of a golf ball, and I was swinging off the line of play. And he said, why are you doing that? And I said, well, I don't know. That's just the way I play. He said, well, son, you need to do this. And why did it stick? I don't know. But gosh, it got so much easier to swing the club. Obviously, with my back situation, didn't know if I could do some of that stuff. Obviously, I have a shorter backswing, and because I'm restricted on my back when I take the club back on the swing. And I just fired through it. But he just wanted me to get it down the line of play, and obviously just started striping it. And that year, I met him in January 2006. That year, I won the Korn Ferry Order of Merit that year. I was number one player, and it was never looked back after that. It's you believe you can do it, and you meet people for a reason. And what a special guy. He never said you have to do this, you have to do that. He just says he takes what you have and it makes it better. And that's the beautiful thing of him.
Hey, y'all, it's Christina. If you're enjoying today's episode with Ken, I wanted to recommend another couple episodes that have 3 degrees of separation with Ken, actually. So Justin Pointer, who I mentioned on this podcast with Ken, who has been unbelievably instrumental in my life. Episode number 21 with Justin Poynter. You would really love that episode as well. Episode number 23 with Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney, who is the founder of Folds of Honor, who is a great friend of Mr. Ken Dukes. And a mutual friend of Ken and I is Jamie Johnson, celebrity country singer Jamie Johnson, episode number 12. So be sure to check out episodes number 21 with Justin Poynter, number 23 with Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney, and episode number 12 with Jamie Johnson. Enjoy the rest of the episode with my good friend Ken Duke. That's so cool. Yeah, it's like that one touch of God's favor that just like changed the whole trajectory and made golf easy. I mean, there's very few people on the planet that can say like, oh yeah, it's super easy now. It's like, like so fun, so easy, it's no problem. Yeah. But that little tiny switch just like made it a huge difference in your life. Have you ever, besides Mr. Toski, have you ever had like, were you ever like with mentors or gurus or shrinks or anything like that on tour? Or has it always just been you've enjoyed the game and you now know how to hit it on a rope every time?
Yeah, I didn't really have any of that because I didn't have the money to go and pay somebody. So when I met him, I mean, to this day, he's never asked for anything. And that's just him, you know, and he's sure I give him a lot of exposure since I've done well because he deserves it. He took Judy Rankin to teach her how to play the game, too. You know, just there's so many people that when I was on tour that, you know, teachers would come up and say, hey, I took a lesson from Bob Toski. I go down to Florida and watch him, you know, teach and everything back in the day. And it was so unbelievable for me. I mean, he'll be 98 this year in September. And special person, Christina, best special person.
It's so cool. Yeah. When we were at your event last year. So I've been so unbelievably humbled. Ken keeps inviting me back. And like, Ken knows I'm a very below average golfer, but I'm just so grateful to get to hang around with your people and hopefully they enjoy hanging around with me because I love the people much more than I love the golf. For me, that is just like my heart. I'm just so grateful because the people that Ken surrounds himself with, I just think, again, going back to like who Ken is, but your event, I mean, good luck getting into Kenny's event. Like there is no chance in hell. Like you cannot get into this event because the lineup is so long and the people are truly so amazing. You have just such great people around you, but I've been so lucky. He keeps asking me to come back year after year to hang out with his like super cool, fun friends. But at your event, Mr. Toski was there last year and he did that speaking panel and at like what 97 last year, just like, you know, you never missed a beat.
Well, he never shies away to speak. I'm just going to let you know that. But yeah, we started this thing 8 years ago and just called the Ken Duke and Friends. And it's people I've met over the 30 years of playing professional golf and pro-ams that have money and they support charity. And I've been really lucky to get some big celebrities there, some big golfers there, some big business people too as well. And that's what's fun. And this last year we do a Q&A in there with Michelle McGann, which she's first class. Then Mr. Toski, then Jack Nicklaus. He comes every year. What a special person he is and what he's done for this game. But it's just giving money all over to the Folds of Honor. We're doing Cole Hauser. He's going to be there this year. You know, Rip from Yellowstone. He's going to be there this coming year. Just some local charities as well. First Tee. We mix it up all the time. And it's just we try to get new celebrities, new professionals, new charities, and just spread it around. I mean, we'll raise, I think last year we raised 800,000 and the first year I think we did 300. So, it's just been unbelievable. And, we're honored that you've been coming down and taking time out of your schedule. And it's, you just never know in this event, it's people that you meet there that you may meet them someplace else. And, it's all about giving back for me right now.
Totally. Is that kind of where you're, that was like one of the questions I was thinking about for you. It's like, so you've been on tour for 30 years and we didn't mention it yet, but I remember again, Kenny, I think I'm good luck for you because I remember seeing your photo the year you won the Travelers. And then last year, you were messaging me, you sent me a text about your golf tournament. And I was like, hell yes, I'm in, like, I'm in until you kick me out type of situation. And then you're like, how you doing? I said, good. I said, I'm actually headed up to Canada next week. It's supposed to be cold as shit. You're like, oh, well, I'm here right now at the Calgary event. And I was like, okay, good luck this week, whatever, whatever, stay warm. And then sure enough, you win that event. For the first time in 10 years, you won on the,
Yeah.
well, you won your first time on the Champions Tour 10 years after you won on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, it's another thing. That's where I started my career, roughly up in Canada for 7 years, 1996 to 2002. One of the families from Lacombe, which is just up the road from Calgary, they came down every day. And why did I win there? It's just one of those things that happen for a reason. But just I'll call you first time next week I play. It's unbelievable.
Send me a
But
text, Getty.
no, it's just been great. You just don't know when it's your turn, but you got to be ready for it. My daughter's a beach volleyball player, and same kind of thing. Just trying to put some stuff into her mind about, hey, when it's your time to play, you just be ready. You just don't know when it is. And but that's why we practice and play this game. We're ready for it when it's our turn, and just enjoying it. But what a great experience for me. I mean, obviously my goal in this whole game was to win on every level, and I won on the Korn Ferry, won on the PGA Tour, now I'm the PGA Tour champions. And I mean, I don't know what else I can do. I'm just going to ride it out as far as I can. It's going to be good.
Absolutely. So you're still playing like really well. Like I think you're playing probably the best you've played in the last little while, right?
Yeah, and it's just confidence more out here because it's only 3 days instead of four. You got to put the pedal down early on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday because if you don't play well on Friday, you cannot catch up. I mean, obviously, you're playing with Hall of Famers and guys that can just flat out do it, and they've done it for 40 years. But it's just been great. I did get them last year in Calgary, and tried to get them over in Morocco this year, finished fifth. But we'll keep fighting, and hopefully, we can dig up another one sometime somewhere. But just enjoying the ride, morning, and that's what it's all about for me.
Well, Ken, you're gonna win in Arkansas this year. I know it because I'm gonna be there.
That's
Got
awesome.
a tent on 17. And you know what is the, also very interesting? And I don't even know why I know this, but you've only played the Masters twice, right?
Right.
2013. Is that where one of them you were? No, not 2013.
14.
14.
2009, 9 and 14.
14. 2014. I was there on. What is that? 16 or no, 15. Is it 16 is the par three, right?
Right.
How do I not know that? I was on 15 and I'm over by the tree and I wave to you with my dad and Nathan, and you're like, you've got to be kidding. You only come to the majors, don't you? And I was like, yes, I only come to the good ones.
That's it. That's it. That's you. You show up at the big ones, and that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. I'm like, why go anywhere else? I'll see you at the Masters, Kenny. But you finished good that year too, right? Isn't that the year you made the cut?
Well, 09, I made the cut, but I missed that 14 year. But it's the Masters is special. I mean, a dream, obviously, for me to go play there and got a chance to do it twice. Oh, wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So cool. So you mentioned like now your whole like kind of goal is just giving back and stuff like that. Do you know how long you're going to continue to play? Is that something that you have thought about? Like obviously you've been out there 30 years and you just won last year, so why quit now? But has
Yeah.
there been something that you're thinking about? And you're not that old. I mean, you've been playing for 30 years, but you're only 55.
55, 55. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to play 5 more years. That's if my body stays up, and I've been hanging in there on that, and it should be okay, hopefully. But that's what I like to do because I don't want to be one of these guys that's playing in their late 60s and stuff. I mean, if you're competitive, I get it. But you know what? I put my time in. We've saved our money. My daughters will be out of school in about 3 years, 4 years. So that's my goal. And I just got a new boat in December, so I want to enjoy that a little bit more instead of just 20 times a year. Just want to get away and just say thank you to the game of golf and walk away.
Cool. What does that next stage look like? I know obviously you've got two girls, Ashley and Lauren, and now it's so fun because I've met Ashley and Lauren over the years, but they've been younger. And then this year I was like in the ladies' locker room or something like that, and Lauren and I just started chatting. She started following me on social. I'm following her like crazy now because I just want to know how she's doing with her volleyball and all of the things. But Lauren's the volleyball, right?
Right.
Good. Your face looked weird. And I was like, oh my God, I'm 99% positive it's Lauren, because we've messaged back and forth some. But so obviously, like, what does that next stage of your life look like after this? Do you know, or do you have any idea what you want to do besides just enjoy?
I want to enjoy it more than any, but here where we live in Stuart, I've always wanted to do like a sport complex, not a huge one, but an indoor complex where you have baseball, football, basketball, and some golf, like an indoor thing that you can do some stuff. And obviously pickleball is off the charts down here. I'd like to do something like that. My neighbor and I have been talking about it, and he wants to do it, but the problem is I'm not done playing. Once I'm done playing, then we can focus on it more than any. And or we're going to do it, I don't know. Now I'm tied to something else that I didn't want to be tied to anything, but we'll see what happens. But more than any, I just want to enjoy it. It's just been a wonderful ride for me. I meet so many people over the years, but not, I just don't know. 5 years from now, I may want to keep playing. I may not want to, so we'll see what happens, but we'll see.
Would you ever get into golf, like on the commentation side? Would you ever do anything like that, or probably not?
Probably not, because I think more than anything, it's more political on that and who they want and who they don't want. You see some of the younger guys now, obviously with the Smiley Kaufman, that you just kind of lost his status. I mean, he was hanging around with JT and Jordan and Ricky all the time, and he was the one that didn't really. He sure he won, but he didn't wasn't very consistent. Those guys are just keeping rolling, but he's doing a wonderful job, something like that. So, but no, I mean, if somebody asked me, it's a possibility, but not on a day-to-day basis. Now I'm doing homework like you, and I definitely don't want to do all that stuff.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. You put in too much work. It's so interesting. I had no idea that Smiley Kaufman is now doing commentation. I look at you and I look at like two to three people that I know. Like I follow like, John, I follow Glenn, I follow you, people that I know a little bit on the senior tour, and then maybe two to three people. We're actually headed out of town for the Masters. So I think that this will be the very first time in my whole entire life I've probably not watched the Masters since I was like a little child, that my dad forced
Wow.
me to watch it. So we'll hopefully maybe we're headed to hike Machu Picchu next week, hike up to Machu
Nice.
Picchu. And so maybe there'll be no service or something like when that Masters is on. But yeah, it's super interesting. But like that, like I barely watch golf anymore. I just show up to your event, show up to two or three of my other big guys' events, and just go and BS. And sometimes, take money off of the guys at Pleasant Valley. I'm so excited for this event at PV. Are you excited?
Yeah, I mean, Arkansas is hungry for some event like that, and obviously, I think a PGA Tour event would be off the charts. But I think bringing our tour in there, 50, top 54 players from this year's Charles Schwab, I think it's going to be wonderful. Like I said, they're hungry for it. PV is a class place, great golf course there. I know Glenn plays out there all the time, but I think the guys will really enjoy it. And obviously, we're going to stay downtown, and a lot of things to do downtown, and. You can slip over there to PV and play, but been taught all the big name guys have been asking me about it. What do you think? Is it going to be good? What's the course like? And what's the town? Yeah, all that kind of stuff. And I said, just come, just support us 1 year. If you don't want to do it next year, that's fine. But I've just heard so many great things about volunteers that's been signing up and all the sponsors and everything. Obviously, Simmons and George with those guys, what they're doing is just first class. They're a sponsor of mine. Like I said, I think Little Rock is really going to be excited, when we get in there. If the weather holds off, late October, we'll see what happens. But I think it's going to be a wonderful event.
It's going to be an absolutely fantastic event. I'm so excited to have it. Like when the whole buzz of it that was coming and all the Simmons, George and Jack and all those guys were there, it was so cool to see it. And then obviously your face, how this whole podcast came about. I was buying, like Nathan and I ended up getting like tickets to the sponsorship tent or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, Kenny, you're the face. This is you. And you're like, where is that?
Yeah, where'd that come from? In the
Where?
bathroom
In
wall
the
or something? I
bathroom.
don't know.
That's exactly right. Hey, it's Christina. No need to fast forward. This will take 2 seconds. I just want to say thank you so much for being here. I don't know if you know, but we now have a Decide It's Your Turn YouTube page. So if you like YouTube and watching video, you can go to youtube.com, put in Decide It's Your Turn into the search bar, and we will pop right up. Also, I wanted to tell you that those three little dots, perhaps you're listening on Apple or Spotify, those three little dots besides the title, if you hit that, it'll pop up a menu where you could share this episode. And I'd be so grateful if you would share today's episode with someone you know and love that would probably use it, even if you don't like the person, but perhaps think that someone might need to hear today's episode. I would be so grateful if you could share it. This is how we get the episode out. This is how we share the podcast. And this is how we help people decide it's their turn. So enjoy the rest of the episode. I appreciate you so much. What's one of your absolute favorite memories on tour? Like, I'm sure you have so many awesome stories. Is there any couple that you could share?
Yeah, just a couple. I mean, 2017, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. I'm not a West Coast guy at all. Obviously, it just showed the last 2 weeks I can't even finish in the top 50 or whatever on the Champions Tour in 78. But I struggle out there. But I do play Pebble Beach really well for some reason. I don't know if it's because it's Pebble Beach, but a friend of mine, Jason Gore, could not play, so I got paired with Carson Daly. And I never met Carson before, so he's my partner at the AT&T. And we ended up winning in 2017. And just the memorable thing. He grew up in Santa Monica, and he used to come up there all the time with his stepdad and play. That was like winning the Masters for him, is what he said, you know, which was absolutely great for me, obviously. And Clint Eastwood was there giving us the trophies, and it was wonderful. Great experience. One other one, and I'll keep it short. First time I played the Masters, Sean O'Hare and Vijay Singh and I were playing a practice round off of number 10, just playing the back nine. And we're playing, you know, we got to have a game. You got to have a game, right? We've always got a game. So we're just playing $50 skins, carryovers, et cetera, whatever. Well, we get around to 15. I don't hit it very far. So I laid up the par five. They hit it in the water. I made par, they made bogey. So I get all the skins, but you got to validate the next hole. Well, Vijay hits it in there about 20 feet and he makes it and stole all the skins. So, but then he went to the front of the tee box, you know, as we skip it across the water, you've seen that in the practice rounds. And he makes a hole in one from the skipping it across the water. I mean, it's 2008. You can Google it. It's on YouTube. You can see I went like this. I didn't even hit. I mean, come on, Beach. So we get to 18. Sean said, I'll play you for half. And I said, I'm just going to beat you on this hole, Beach. I mean, he's one of those guys that you rib him a little bit, he's going to rib you. What a great friendship that we have with that. But we get to 18. I chip it in for par. He's got about an 8 foot. On the first hole, he says, hey, Dookie, you want to buy out? I said, no, I ain't buying out. I mean, I got $400. You know, I could pay you $400. So I chipped in for par. He has about an 8 footer for par. And so I walked up to him before he put it. I said, hey, Beads, you want to buy out? And he just says, I'm going to roll this in on you. And he just went, he made it. So what a great time there. I mean, everyone got caught up in the game. We had a bunch of people following us. Never forget those moments. We always remember those.
You guys, this what Kenny's talking about is the way that I feel about my old men money games at Pleasant Valley. I would rather lose my arm than do a buyout every single time. Do you want to press? Absolutely. I am in every single solitary time. Who yeah. Was it Hogan that said, like, there's never more pressure than when you don't have the money on the 18th hole or something like that? Was that Hogan?
Maybe Trevino. Maybe Hogan. Probably Trevino. He never had money back in the day, but he will beat your ass in a heartbeat. You know that. So
every time. That's so funny. I remember meeting him a few years ago. What has been so obviously that Carson Daly one, was that the one where you hold it from the fairway? Did you make a hole in one at Pebble or hold
no,
it for
I
eagle
hold it,
or something?
Well, it was in 2012. I was playing with Tom Dreesen, the comedian, and we were the first group out at Pebble. Beautiful day, which you don't get that in February. Shot even par on the front, which it felt like five over because the front nine is where you can score. But I got on a roll in the back and I had four or five birdies and I get to 16 and I hold it from the fairway and got me to 8 under or to 7 under for the day on the back. So I started doing this dance, this cabbage patch dance. And later that night, I got I even heard the commentating from Faraday said, oh, Kenny, don't do that. Please don't do that, Kenny. Don't do that. And we were laughing. But then I saw top 10 plays, which I was like number two. Then 10, not top 10, I was number one, the worst dance. So anyway, birdie number 18, he shot 28 on the back, which is a course record there. It's just one of those things that, but that was 2012 with Tom Dreesen. And that's the beauty for that tournament. you see all the celebrities and get a chance to rub elbows. But obviously, that year we were in the final, we're in the final group, and Tiger and Phil was in the group right in front of us, and there was thousands of people in front of us. And when we were playing, it was like five people.
It was so good. I remember you were not on top 10 because I think I videoed it. And I was like, oh, kill me. Every time I see the dance, I'm always just so happy. And you did a good one when you won the Shaw too. Like you did a good celebration dance for sure. That's like kind of like your MO now. Have you ever been starstruck or anything like when you get to play? Like what has been kind of something super special for you?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've met a lot of nice people, and obviously get a chance to see Jack Nicklaus every single time I see him. It's but the cool thing about it, he says, "Kenny, how you doing?" He just calls me straight by my name, and it's been great. But I got a chance to play with Michael Jordan a couple of years ago down at his place, and
what was the action on that game? That's what I want to know.
we kind of, it's not, I don't have your money, so I was less than that.
Oh yeah,
but,
yeah.
but I try. He said, "What do you want to play for, pro?" And I said, "It's all your, it's your game, MJ." I just started calling him MJ. I was like, "Okay, whatever." But he had four or five other guys. He was playing big cash, and he said, "I'll just play for 100. You give me six." I'm thinking six a side. I never played with him before. I heard he's about a six or eight. I didn't know. When he plays with pros, I didn't know. He said, "No, just six shots." I'm like, "I'm gonna beat your butt. I'm gonna take you out." Well, I shot 300, I think, that round. He shot like 85. He didn't play very well. But the next nine, we played another 18. He shot 75, I shot 70. So he said, "We're even." So it wasn't, but the cool thing about it is I'm hitting shots and he's like 3 feet away from me, parked the cart right on the tee box almost, And I'm like, "Damn, I better hit this good." Michael Jordan's right beside me watching, But, he's just a competitor. He's a student of the game. He likes to play with good players. And I mean, I treat him like he's just a regular guy. He treat me the same. And every time I get a chance to see him, he said, "What's up, old man?" or something like that. So he gives me a hard time, and I do the same. It's just been a good friendship.
That's cool. I think that's one of the awesome things about you is that you hang around with wonderful people. You hang around with a lot of celebrities, you hang around with a lot of, very successful business people, and you treat everyone exactly the same. And I think, that's something that I have learned from you back when I, like I said, when I met you in 2007, I just think that I don't think I remember learning this from Peter Jacobson. He told me, he was giving some sort of speech on the golf course, and I ended up walking about three holes with him back in Edmonton, Canada. Jacobson was there, and Mr. Palmer was there, and there was a few people there, but Peter Jacobson said that's something that he always remembers is take what you want and leave with what you don't, but always learn from someone, whether what do you like or what you don't like. And I think over the years, being around certain people, I have learned what I really want to take and what I don't. And I think that from you, I've always really appreciated and just really respected the fact that you treat everyone exactly the same, no matter who they are, no matter what they do, whether it's Michael Jordan or, a successful billionaire or just regular everyday Joe. You've always been so kind to everyone that I've ever seen you around. And I just know that that's one of the reasons why you have one of the greatest reputations out there and you enjoy what you do. And I just, I respect that so, so, so much. And I'm so thankful that you did this. And I had no idea that I was going to get so emotional, but you really have made such an impact in my life. And I'm so grateful. So thank you.
No, I appreciate that. I think that goes a long way when you just try to treat people the same and who they are and not someone else. And I think they respect you more. I know when I was out on tour, Bob Murphy used to come around doing the commentating, and him and I just used to talk about Toski and just to talk about, the golf course and even Andy North, those old timers like that, they just love to talk, what a respectful guys those are. But that's just the way I've always done it for years, and just enjoying every minute. I can't thank you enough for letting me come on here, and I can't wait to see your next podcast because I'm hoping it's from the back room. I hope you're filming from the bathroom. and just throw some
Exactly.
pictures back behind, you know?
I don't think I have plans to go to Canada this year, but I will ask one of my brothers to take a photo of you in the ladies' locker room at the Windermere Golf Club. I swear to God, it used to be there. I don't know if it's still there, but that was back when you won in 2013. But that was an omen, Kenny. So message me this year and you're going to win I'm going to see you on 17 at the Simmons event at PV. I'm going to be there all 3 days. I think my dad's going to fly in. We bought like a whole bunch of tickets so we could be a big part of
Awesome.
it. So unbelievably grateful. Thank you for making the time for this. I know that you're headed off to an event today. So I just appreciate you so much. And I'll forever come to your event as long as you don't fire me. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we're having it this year in November, so I'll get the dates out to you soon, and we're gonna try to get Jake to come down. I mean, he always big times me and doesn't come down, but I got Gary Cope coming down as well. So we're gonna have a good time and a good gr bunch of people and a lot of music guys, as we know. But thank you for all you do, and looking forward to seeing you in Arkansas later on this
Awesome.
year.
Yay, so fun. Thanks. Good luck today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you all so much for joining me on today's episode of the Decide It's Your Turn podcast. If today's episode resonated with you at all, please share it with a friend. Also, head on over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review and a comment. What is it that you want us to talk about that'll help you realize that at any moment and any day, you too can decide it's your turn? I'm Christina LeCure. I'll see you next time.